Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Well, it's always great when these gift cards fall out of your Bible. Isn't that great? I mean, that's awesome. Well, it's so good to be here. And today we are continuing our message on why, although we lost a couple of our whys. They didn't survive, but that's okay. We're continuing our series on why, and we're giving honest answers to tough questions. And so these last few weeks, I want to jump right in because I've been running over and getting the what for from the children's ministry. So not really. They're all so gracious and loving and kind. They don't ever say anything, but I know. So, and you know, it's not that we're rushing the Holy Ghost or anything like that, so don't be like that. It's just that, you know, we got another service after this one, and the children's team, those people back there, they work hard back there. They want the kids not only to have fun. You know, one thing that kind of gets me is when you pick up your kids from children's church, don't say, hey, did you have fun? You know what a better question would be? Because I guarantee you they're going to have fun. You cannot be in the presence of those children's people without having fun. I don't care what you're doing. They are going to have fun because when I'm with those children's ministry people, I have fun. They are just fun people. I mean, you can't be in children's ministry without being a fun person. It's just like one of the requirements. But you know what a better question would be to ask your kids when you meet them and say, hey, what did you learn today? Wouldn't that be better? What did you learn today? Because not only are those children's people fun, they are anointed. They are empowered to preach the gospel. The same anointing that is here is over there. I think it's even stronger because God likes them better. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, so it's exciting. So we don't want to make things too difficult for them. And so they got a plan. And so anyway, I say all that. See, that's why I run over right there. Right there. That's why I run over. But anyway, we've been given honest answers to tough questions. And so we started out with, why would God love somebody like me? Look at your neighbor and say, good question. Good question. Why would somebody love somebody like me? The answer is pretty easy, because God loves everybody.
That's right.
There are no exceptions to God's love. None. None. And you know, we all need to be like, thank God. Because you know what? You might have been the exception somebody thought. There is no color, no way that you live, no lifestyle. Listen, not even, I know this might ruffle your feathers, but not even like sexual preference, none of that. There is nothing that disqualifies you from the love of God.
Amen.
Nothing. For God so loved the world. That's all the mess all put together, right? That's everybody. That's all of us, our mess ups, our hang ups, our screw ups, everything, all of it there. And God said, I love you enough. I'm going to send my son Jesus to die for you. There is no exclusion from the love of God. So why would God love somebody like you? Because he loves everybody. He loves everybody. You're not the exception, the one that he doesn't love. No, God loves everybody. And then we answered a really tough question, a big one that we get asked a lot. We said, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? And we learned why bad things happen. How many know bad things happen? And so we learned that. And if you're like, hey, I missed that week, well, that's why we got it online for you. So you can go listen to it. You can learn the answer. And why do we need to know the answers to these questions? Because we need to be equipped. Because how many know the world has questions about God?
Amen.
The world has questions about the God who loves you and the God that you serve. They have questions, and we need to be equipped with answers. We're not supposed to walk around and be like, well, I don't know. We need to know. When people say, why would God love somebody like me? Look at him and say, because he loves me. And let me tell you what God has done in my life, because he loves me. Amen? And so, did I leave out a question? What's the question? Yeah. See, Candy takes notes. That's why I like Candy. Right there. Right there. You know? All right. Candy, let me borrow those after service, please. No, I'm Well, today we're going to answer a really good question. It's why I am wearing my I Love My Church t-shirt. And I didn't call anybody and say, hey, wear your t-shirt. I actually had to wash this thing last night because I wore it yesterday. Because today we're answering the question, Why is church so important? Why is church so important? Or why do I need church? Why do I need church? Because you know what? A lot of people think, oh, I don't need church. I can watch it on TV. Let me tell you something. It is not the same. It's not the same. Or, you know, and so why do I need church? It's not just that you should go to church. It's not just that it's a good idea. You need church. You need it. And so today we're going to talk about why church is so important and why you need church. You need church as much as you need air. You need church. If you're going to live the life that God's called you to live, you need church. Amen? And so anyway, so yesterday we had the best time. I tell you, I could barely walk this morning. I got to be honest with you. You know, I got, I'm receiving healing for a leg injury, and yesterday it just was probably not the wisest thing I've ever done. Not that I did a lot. I kind of stood around a lot, to be honest with you. But we did, and I was supervising. No, I was not. So yeah, actually, he won't mind me saying, but Chuck even said to me, he's like, who's the boss here? You know, because it obviously was not me. Because he kept asking me questions. I was like, I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway, what we did yesterday, we did one of our Love Like Christ challenges. We've been doing one every month. And I tell you, yesterday when I was driving home, and I was just honest, I was so tired, because I did work a little. I was so tired and just exhausted, but just such an overwhelming pride and love for my church. I always love my church. You know, one thing that you have to remember, and those of you who are kind of new to the church, is before I pastored this church, I went to this church. Before I worked for this church, I went to this church.
Right.
I love this church.
That's right.
I got filled with the Holy Ghost in this church. I learned the authority of the believer in this church. I learned the power of forgiveness, that the life I had led was now under the blood. It was washed away. It did not define me. It did not dictate my future. I learned that in this church. I learned that here. And so when I say I love my church, I mean it. I love my church. I love this church. And so it's not just you to say, oh, you love it because you pastor it. No, I pastor it because I love it.
Amen.
Because let me tell you something. Pastoring this bunch, it ain't easy. Let me tell you, it ain't easy. You guys all look great on Sunday, but then there's Monday and Tuesday and on, right? So I pastor this church because I love this church. But, you know, yesterday we did our Love Like Christ challenge, and we went, and it just overwhelmed me of how awesome our church is. And I know that pastors all over the world and all over Lake Worth and all over, they could stand at their pulpit and they could say, man, I love my church, and they could be proud of their church too. But I think we have the best church.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I could be a little biased. But yesterday we went, and we did our Love Like Christ challenge, and we went to a lady that goes to our church. Her name is Arlene, and she's not able to come as much anymore. She's been coming here for over 10 years, and just because of health reasons and age, she's not able to come as much. And so she had her house, and it had kind of gotten a little out of control. Who was there yesterday? Say, out of control. You know, it was just her yard work. Because, you know, I mean, I don't even want to do yard work, but she's older, God help, she can't do yard work. And so we went over there, and we did some work. But it was so powerful, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, we had people there, and they just kept coming through the day. People that worked all week long, they got hard jobs, they got kids at home, and they got stuff to do. Pastor Steve, his kid graduated from college on Friday. Saturday. Somebody say amen. Right? Who we all remember like this big. Now he's bigger than all of us. Steven. He's Steven now. He used to be Bubby, but he's Steven now. But he graduated from college on Friday. Pastor Steve was still there on Saturday. And you know what? Here's the thing. Pastor Steve works a job outside of the church. Amen. And I tell you, he worked hard. And you know, and people just can't. You know, he's not the only one. We had the entire Sampley family was there. I mean, just working. Thank God for them. And, you know, I can name all the names, but I'll forget somebody. But it was just so proud because, you know, nobody's going to get anything from that. You know, we didn't go out and say, hey, thanks for working today. Here's $100. Thanks. No, we were like, hey, can you go to the store? You know, I mean, it was people giving, not expecting anything in return. But I tell you, the love and excitement and just want to be there. Nobody had to be there. Everybody wanted to be there. And you know, I mean, to belong to a group of people like that, that's powerful. You know, people like that are few and far between. And our church is filled with people like that, who go above and beyond because of Jesus. And then after we had worked all day, I say we loosely, after we had worked all day, you know, we're all standing there thinking, well, this is what was coming from the group of people. You know, the next time we come, we need to do this. We need to do this. Well, I'll help pay for it. Yeah, I'll be here. Isn't that powerful? We're all standing and thinking like, wow, look at what we did. We were so happy about what we did. But then it wasn't me, it was other people. Yeah, next time we come, well, let's do this. Next time we come, she really needs us to do this. And then, you know, if it's like, well, how much? Then somebody said, well, you know, I'll help pay for it. Somebody else, I'll help pay for it. And that's powerful. That is the love of God, not just talked about, not just read about. That is the love of God lived out. Amen? And that's your church. And so when I was driving home thinking, man, I am so blessed. And then I just started thinking of all the people in our church and how amazing they are. How amazing they are. And I could brag on so many of you. I could tell stories of calling people in the middle of the night and saying, hey, so-and-so needs some help. Can you come help me? I'll be there. You know, many of you don't know this, but about a month ago, maybe a little more, the church was vandalized. Our church was vandalized. And you say, well, why didn't you tell us? I'll tell you why I didn't make an announcement about it, because the Lord told me when it happened, don't make a big deal of this, because it's not a big deal. Any attack of the enemy is not a big deal. Not a big deal. And just like we do all the things that come up, we just bulldoze right through it. But you know, it was early in the morning, it was about 8 o'clock in the morning, and I got the text and said, hey, you know, this happened, and they sent pictures, and I was like, just felt like I got stabbed in the heart, to be honest with you, because this is my church. But, you know, I was with somebody, I won't name their name because I don't embarrass them, and I said, man, look what happened. Without missing a second, she looked at me and she said, let's go paint. And as soon as we called a couple people, I said, hey, I need you to come help. Not even a second passed by. They're here. We had the whole thing done. Probably a couple hours at the most. And it showed the enemy, this ain't no big deal. We're way bigger than this. We're way bigger than this. But see, you're part of that church. And so let's show you. We're going to show you what we did yesterday, just so you can see and know you're part of that. Amen? So go ahead and roll that video, guys. I haven't seen this yet. I hope there's no bad pictures of me on here. That looks great. I'd say those pictures, how many were there say those pictures don't do it justice, do they? They really don't. But, you know, and we are going to go back. And so I encourage you, if you know, there's nothing like giving when you're not going to get anything back. That's real giving. Amen? When you're just going to get the peace and the joy that, hey, I did something for Jesus today. I showed the love of God today. There's nothing like that. You know, so many people are, you know, we can look at just society and see people think, man, if I had more money, then I'd be happy. If I had a bigger house, I'd be happy. If I was famous, I'd be happy. But you know what? If that were true, famous people with big houses and lots of money would be happy. But most of them, we can see, are so unhappy. You know, I read an interview I like to read about people, and I read an interview by Tom Brady, you know, which is why I was reading it, I don't know, but I was. And I was reading, and you know who Tom Brady is, right? He's the famous quarterback. And he was saying in an interview, he had, at the time of the interview, he had three Super Bowl rings. And the guy, but you know what he was saying? He's like, he goes, you think I would be satisfied, but I just know there's more. I know there's more. And so you think this guy's got everything. And I'm not saying he said he wasn't happy, he didn't say that, but he was still missing something. He said himself, I'm still missing something. And you and I know what that something is he's missing. Living the life Christ called you to live is the best fill-up you'll ever have. It fills emptiness that no money, no drug, no amount of sex with crazy people. You know, people are like, oh, if I just had a better-looking girlfriend or a better, you know, all this kind of crazy thinking people have. None of that fills you up like Jesus Christ. None of it. And so when we think about why is church so important, it's so important because, number one, God said that we're supposed to do it. He instituted it. He designed it. He made it. But let's skip down here. I was skipping down in my notes, first of all. I want you to turn over your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read some here. You know, I had a top 10 list of wrong reasons to go to church. You guys want to hear them? How many know I'm a David Letterman fan? I've actually seen him in person. You know, highlight of my life, one of them. And I'm really pretty sad that he's going off the air, but, you know, all good things come to an end, right? That's actually a horrible statement and untrue because Jesus never comes to an end. But here we go. Top 10 wrong reasons to attend church. You guys ready? Number 10. I heard they pass this plate with money around and everyone takes what they need. Wrong reason. Number 9. I'm hoping to catch up on all the latest gossip. Remember, these are wrong reasons. Number 8. This is the only time I have in a week to stop by the throne room and say, hey. It was late. Number 7. I'm hungry and I was hoping to biggie-size my communion. Easy now. Number 6. I need a good 45-minute nap. That's wrong. Some of you needed to hear that, but you're sleeping. Number 5. It was raining and it messed up our plans to go to the beach. Number 4. These are wrong reasons. I'm praying for a new job and I needed to score some brownie points for the big guy upstairs. Number 3, our cable was out and we couldn't have home church. Number 2, listen to this one. I forget whatever. I'm sure that this is a Sunday future spouse will be there. And number 1, 2 words for you, free babysitting. First of all, we do not babysit around here. But when we think about that, those are the wrong reasons to go to church. And, you know, and I trust none of you guys had those answers for being here today. And when we say church, the average person in the world is going to think of religion. They're going to think of rules. They're going to think of laws and judgment and boring and fake and formal and weak and exclusive, right? A lot of people are going to have that idea about church. And, you know, we here at BBC, we do all we can to say that is not who we are. That is not who we are. But, you know, the reality is church should be exciting, it should be energizing, it should be powerful, it should be accepting, filled with love, filled with freedom, filled with life, filled with relations with each other. That's what church should be. Amen? And that's our goal for church always, to be that. Are we perfect in all those areas? No. But the point is we try in all those areas. Amen? We do try in all those. And so, you know, I'm proud of my church. I really am. But before we can answer the question of why church, we have to answer the what is the church? What is church? You know, what is it supposed to be? It's not, even though we have a beautiful church building and it looks very traditional, how many know, this is the kind of church you want to get married in, right? I mean, it's got the white steeple, it's got the stairs. I mean, it's just a beautiful church. But it's a building. This is a building. That's all. It's a building, and it's been sanctified and set apart for God's use. But ultimately, it is a building. And so we think about, what is church? Church is not a social club. And unfortunately, the Bible says, in the Bible it says that in the end days, churches will become more like social clubs. Because Jesus, the anointing, and the power of the word will become less and less relevant to some churches. Somebody say, not my church.
Not this church.
Not my church. And so church is not, it's not a social club. It's not a, it's, or, and it's not even a religious center. This isn't a place where we just come and do formal things in order to get acceptance. That's not what this is either, right? And so when we it's not even just a Sunday experience. Church is not just for Sunday. You know, yesterday when we were out, you know, we don't just go to church. Yesterday, we were the church. Amen? We were the church. We took the church and we went to that house and we did church stuff. Some people think church stuff is just worship and preaching and offerings and things like that. No, church stuff is living this word. It's living it. And so when we look here, one of the truest pictures of the church life is found in the first church. And the first church is in the book of Acts. So I told you guys to turn there. Acts chapter 2. Let me get there. You can follow along in your Bible app if you want. Let me find Acts. Here we go. We're going to look at verses 42 through 47. And it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." Somebody say fellowship.
Fellowship.
"In the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the other people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." And so from right here, from 42 down, it's giving a definition or a picture of the church. And this is one of the first times that church is even mentioned in the Bible. This is the church. And so when we get away from that, we're getting away from what the church is. And so we always got to come back to this and say, that's who we are. And so when we look there, they prayed, they fellowshiped, they ate together, they worshiped together. They shared and enjoyed life together. And you know what? They had a connection. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, let's read this. It says, "The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ." Verse number 13. "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many." I like the Message translation in verse 2. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." You are the body of Christ. And so when we say the best definition, when somebody says, what is church? The best definition of church is people. Church is people. We are the church. It's not a building. It's not a form. It's not a class that you go to. We are the church. It is a body of believers connected together through our unities with Christ Jesus. And we are all together. And what do? We get together, we pray together, we eat together, we fellowship together, we worship together. We are together. We do life together. That's what church is supposed to be. And so when people are bad-mouthing the church, and you know, now the big thing is writing open letters. You know what an open letter is? An open letter is a letter that you write to one person, but you let everybody read it. It's an open letter. And so all, you know, and Facebook, I love Facebook, but Facebook can just be stupid. It can just cause people hurt. I can't even imagine being a teenager with Facebook. I mean, being a teenager is hard enough, but being a teenager with Facebook, I just think would be so difficult. I think it would be really hard. So if you have a teenager and they're on Facebook, you need to pray for them. But Facebook is good, but Facebook is a phenomenon. It has literally changed the world. You know, they can link back revolutions in countries overseas back to Facebook. That it has hooked people together. And so Facebook can be a good thing, and Facebook can be not so good thing. But one of the things that's going all over Facebook right now, and maybe it's just on my page, because almost everybody on my page, almost, not everybody, is either a pastor, or they work in a church, or they go to church somewhere. But it's open letters, and it's people writing letters, and they write these letters, and they want to write all the things that are wrong with the church. And it's just like, seriously? You know, instead of pointing out all the problems, why don't you come in and be part of the solution?
Come on now.
Because, you know, church is a family. The Bible says that we are one family and we should encourage one another.
Yes.
You know, how many know that in your family it never works when a couple relatives get aside and point out everything wrong with everybody else in the family? How many know that doesn't work? That doesn't work in church either. And then, you know, people want church to be perfect. Church is not perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, because you're here. We would be doing so well, but you're here, right? Now look at the neighbor you left out and say, you're here too, right? Your second choice person. You know, the thing is that church is not perfect because church is made up of imperfect people. But the thing about it is if you're going to miss out, just like you're going to miss out on life when you don't do life together with church people. And you say, well, I don't like any church people. Well, here's the thing. The Bible says to show yourself friendly, you will have friends. And so ask yourself this question. Have you really given people in church the chance you would want them to give you? Right? Or ask yourself this question. Is the reason you don't like church people is because they're so different from you? Because they're so different. Maybe the reason they're so different is because they've been in it longer and you need to get different too.
Come on.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, the thing about it is that church life is a different life. It's a life where we're supposed to love each other, forgive each other, believe the best of each other, pray for each other, fight for each other, stand with each other. Amen. Help meet the needs of one another. That is, but not enable you. Listen, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat.
Come on.
Don't be thinking, oh, the church is my source. We are not your source. Together, we come together.
Come on.
And so the thing is, when it comes to church, we're supposed to do life together. And so if you don't do life with church people, then you're never going to understand how important church is. If it wasn't for church people, I would literally be dead. Dead. No, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not kidding. It is the truth. Church people prayed me out of hell. Church people stood with me when the doctor said, sorry, there's nothing we can do. Church people did that. And so when I say I love church people, I love church people. But you know what? Church people talk about each other. Church people are rude sometimes. Church people hurt each other because we're people. But you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You say, but hey, this is my family. Just like you're stuck with your natural family, this is your spiritual family. And it's got, you know, I always say everybody's got a flat spot. You know? Whenever somebody's like, oh, this person, man, blah, 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 you know, I'm like, listen, everybody's got a flat spot. Everybody's got just something. Everybody's got something. Everybody's got an issue they got to work through. Everybody's got a little, you know, maybe a little bit of rough personality. Everybody's got something. But if all we accepted were people that didn't have something, who'd be here? Nobody would be here. We'd have a bunch of infants because they haven't had a chance to get anything, right? We just have a bunch of babies laying around. Nobody take care of them. Because all we took were people that had it all together. You look at babies like, oh, it's so cute. You know, there's nothing wrong with a baby. But they grow up a little bit, you're like, ugh.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Isn't that the truth? Like, man, what happened to you? What happened, right? But the thing is, if all we let in were people that were perfect, there'd be nobody here. And so when we think, and you know what? When we look back at the first church, they had issues too. They were always having arguments with each other. Everybody loves Saul, but you know, one really cool thing about Saul is once Saul, how many know who Saul turned into Paul? Know the story? You know, when he came back, he was preaching and he was all gung-ho. How many have ever had somebody come and they first get born again and suddenly they're like the most spiritual person in the world? Right? Anybody met this person? Now hold up your mirror and say, I was that person, right? We were all that person. And you know, Paul was that person too. He got saved, he got filled with the Spirit, and he came back and he's preaching to everybody. And you know, if you read that, you see that the disciples, the apostles, you know what they did? They sent him home. It says Saul of Tarsus, that's where he's from. They sent him back to guess where? Tarsus. They sent him home. And then we don't hear from Paul for a little while. You know why? Because they sent him home to get his act together. But you know what? This is home. And we got to give people a chance to get their act together. Amen. We got to give people a chance to come in and say, you know what? I'm hurting. But you know, we've all seen this. The church is a hospital for the hurting and the people who need Jesus and the people who are wounded from the world. We are a hospital from them. If all we take in is well people, then we're not doing a very good job. But you can't get aggravated with people who are hurting. You can't get aggravated with people who are like Saul, like Paul. They think they know everything. You can't get aggravated with them. Just think, oh, they're home. We'll get them straightened out. Right? That's what they did to Paul. They sent him home. And so the thing is, when we think about church, it's a group of people that are imperfect, but we've made a decision to live with Jesus. We've made a decision to be connected to the body. We were once, the Bible says in Colossians, that I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you take a step out of darkness. God moves you out of that and he translates you and you make a decision to say, I'm part of this body now. I'm part of this body. And you know what? This body is imperfect. But that's you, that's the part, that's what God says for us to do. You come out of darkness, he translates you. Colossians 1, he says he translates you out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And then it says that we are part of the body of Christ. And then that involves being part of the church body. Every believer, and let me tell you something, I don't apologize for this, but it seems to me that people that are super spiritual, they don't go to church. And I have no tolerance for that. None. If a speaker wants to come preach here, you know one of the first things I ask him, where do you go to church? Because you're never too big for church.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
And God calls the church his bride. His bride. We are the bride of Christ. How nice would it be if, you know, who's Angel's bride? Angie, right? Hello? You're thinking like, is it the church? No. No. Angel's bride is Angie. Now, what would it be like? Now, Angie's not here today. So let's keep this between us. What would it be like if we were like, you know, Angel, I really like you. I get you. I like you a lot. I want to do life with you. But Angie, not so much. I got issues with Angie. I got issues with her. There is something, I'm going to write a letter about it. It's going to be open. I'm going to write an open letter about all the things I don't like about Angie. What would Angel say to you? He'd probably be like, that's my wife you're talking about. Yeah. He'd be like, I don't think so. But you know what? When you badmouth the church, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing to the groom. Everybody knows that, you know, we love Angie. Angie's great. But just like every other bride, how many wives we got in here? I'm a wife. How many know you got issues? You got issues. You're not perfect. You know? But the thing is that we don't want anybody writing a letter about us.
Come on.
We don't want anybody to say, well, hey, you know, I really like your husband. You, I don't like you at all, so I'm not even gonna hang out with you. No, that's we take people as they are.
Come on.
And say, hey, you know what? just like you, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be.
Amen.
You know, I find when people don't go to church, it usually falls into three categories. Number one, a lot of believers, is because life gets busy. Life gets busy. How many know life is busy? It's just busy. But you know, you think about it. We have so many hours every week. And church is, let's say, 2 hours. You know, get here, go to church, 2 hours. You are saying that you don't have 2 hours to be obedient to the Word of God. You don't have 2 hours to come and be part of a community that's bigger than yourself. You don't have 2 hours to honor the Word of God. You're that busy, then you're too busy. You don't have 2 hours to instill godliness in your children. And that's just crazy. So one of the reasons why we just get too busy. It's like, oh man, I really need to sleep in. Do you? Is it more important than the Word? Or people are in church, but then they get into a struggle. How many know there's struggles in life?
Yes.
There's struggles in life. You get into a struggle, and you start going it alone, and the enemy just pulls you. It's like a magnet, man. He just pulls you. Next thing you know, weeks have gone by, and you're all alone. And that's a dangerous place to be. The Bible says that two can fight better than one. The Bible says three are hard to beat. Amen? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, sorry for the man who falls when he's alone because he has nobody to pick himself up. Nobody to pick him up. Isn't that the truth? And so, you know, we get busy and then we start going through struggles and we start pulling away from God. Or, number three, another reason, is that we start falling back into old lifestyle. I've done that. You fall back into old lifestyle, things that are not, thing that you walked away from, and then you're saying, you know what, I'm back in this, and the last person I want to see is church people. The last place I want to be is in the anointing because of where I've been. You know what, all those are bad reasons. You don't have to be perfect to come to church, thank God. You don't have to not be struggling to come to church. You don't have to fear judgment when you come to church. Because people say, oh, I don't want to go to church because people are judgmental. Listen, there's a difference between speaking the truth and being judgmental. And our world has gotten that a little goofed. Because if I disagree with you, you and me say, you're judging me. No, I'm speaking the word to you. Because the word brings life and freedom. We're okay regardless. But the Word of God speaks, when you speak it, it brings life and freedom. And so ask yourself, if you feel convicted by the Word, then which side of that you want to stay on? The side that's going to set you free, which is the Word of God, or the rabbit hole you're rapidly going down, which is just going to lead you to more despair, more hurt, and more anger, and more pain in your life? Which side do you want to be on? Is it uncomfortable? Of course it is. Whenever there's life change, it gets uncomfortable. Whenever there's a pulling of into the world or into godliness or into the church, it's uncomfortable. Right? Listen, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Right.
But it's not that easy. Is it worth it? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. And so, you know, whenever that uncomfortable feeling comes, don't run from God. He's who you need. Whenever you screw up and mess up, don't run from God. He's who you need. You know, I can't tell you how many times, and I've done this, I know how it feels. We get involved in stuff, we fall back into some things, or we meet somebody that doesn't go to church, and now we're hanging out with them, and then we're like, oh, I don't want to go to church because it makes me feel bad. I've been there. But you know what? You're going to stay and mask, because that's what you're doing. You're masking the pain of your life in relationships that don't hold you accountable. And that pain doesn't go away. It just gets worse. Or, let's all do it together. Or, you can come to church, go through a couple of tough services, because let's just be honest, they're tough. All right? Let's not candy coat it. They're tough. Go get into a couple of services, bite the bullet, and just push past that feeling of conviction and uncomfortableness so that you can walk in the freedom that really you want.
Amen.
That's a whole lot better.
Yes.
Amen? That's not part of my notes. You guys get me all off track here. Let's keep going. Let's keep going here. But the Bible says now you are the body of Christ. I'm sure if we take a poll and say, why do we need church? A lot of people are going to say to worship God. How many say to worship God? That's a great answer, but it's not the answer. You can worship God at home. You can. You can worship God on your own. You can worship God really wherever you are. If worship is our only purpose for church, then we're missing the big picture. I believe the Word of God teaches us that the number one, the primary purpose of church is connecting believers to believers. That's the primary reason for church. Because the truth is, we can learn the Word at home. The Holy Ghost will help us. That's the truth. You can watch church on TV. You can. You can. And you can hear a great message. I've heard great messages online. I've heard better preaching than mine online many times, many times. And the thing is that you can do that. But it's not going to do for you what church is supposed to do for you. Church, I believe, the Bible teaches us, the main reason we have church, the main reason we're together, is connecting one another to one another. Because the Bible is filled. And we shared all of these in one of the first lessons here of one another's. All the things that we as believers are supposed to do and be for one another. And that's really hard to do when your pastor's in another state. That's hard to do when all you've got is online. That's hard to do when all you got is a TV. Listen, you can watch TV on church, but you can't get church from TV. You can't get church from TV. Because it's just you and a screen. There's nobody there to mourn with you. There's nobody there to sit with you when you're going through hard times. There's nobody there to stand with you. You say, oh, I call the 1-800 number, and they stand with me. Let me tell you, that's great and that's good, but there is nothing like calling somebody and having somebody come to you and look you in the eye and say, I'm with you. I am with you on this. And then being able to call that person, no matter what time it is, say, I'm struggling. Can you pray with me? You know, I love to hear of people in our body who stand with each other. I love to hear about, you know, this person who takes this person to the doctor and sits with them and prays with them and is there for them. That's church. That's church. I love to hear of times when church people are being the church for one another. There's nothing greater for me to hear. I love to hear about problems I knew nothing about. I knew nothing about these problems. But you know what? People in the church, their group got together and they prayed and they stood and they went through it together. That's the way it's supposed to be. I love that. And you can't get that from TV. You can't get that from a podcast. You can't get that anywhere but church. And so what's this for? This is just a place to bring the church together. Just like the first church, they met in the temple. And then they went house to house. They were together. Don't miss out on the best part of church by being a loner. So many people in church are like, oh, I just don't feel like I connect, or, you know, whatever. And it's like, listen, to connect, you got to have your connector out. Amen? You can't, so I see people come into church, they're like this. You know, they got their bulletin, they're like this. How many times can you read that thing? It's not that big. You know, but they're just like, and you know, all the people are going by them, and they're just like, oh, I just feel so alone. Nobody's even connecting with me. Nobody's reaching out. Nobody's doing a thing. You didn't have your connector out. The Bible says to show yourself friendly, to have friends. There are friends here for you. They may not look like the friends you have in the world, but you don't need those friends anymore. Amen? How many know you need a different kind of friend? Amen. They're not going to do the same thing you used to do, but how many know you don't need to do that anymore?
Come on.
And it's tough to change from a life, just honestly, and I've done it. It's hard to change from a life of worldliness into a life of godliness. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes change.
Yes.
But that's what we need. It doesn't mean that you're going to go from having so much fun and to now you're going to just sit around and sing Kumbaya. You know, that's not what we do. You know, people in this church are some of the funnest people I know. They're the best people I know. They're the best people I know. And so when people walk around here saying, oh, you know, I just don't feel like I connect. I just want to smack them. And ask, like, where are you going to find better people than the people here? Where are you going to find better people than that? I don't think there are better people than that. They may not look like your old friends, but where's your old friends get you? Right? You say, well, you know, a lot of younger single people are like, well, there's nobody to date. Maybe you need to be in a place where there's nobody to date for a while. Amen? Maybe that's exactly what you need. Because you're a serial dater. And it's time to stop the dating. You know, and you know, just honestly, and when I say this to people and they look at me like I have two heads, I say, listen, I've done it. I know. I was a serial, not as, you know, I dated. You know, I haven't always been married. I like to say that to young people. I'm like, you know, I haven't always been married. Really? You know, like you got married in kindergarten or something, you know? Yeah, for real. I haven't always been married. But, you know, I didn't meet the man who checked off all the lists. I didn't meet the man who I said, this is it. I didn't meet him until the Lord spoke to me and said, don't date anybody for a year. Turn off the dater. You need to reset. You need to give God time to restore your soul. And so when you come in here saying, you look around like, nobody here, I'm going to Christ Fellowship. You know? Listen, Christ Fellowship may have more single people. And God bless, I'm not saying anything bad about Christ Fellowship. If God called you there, what are you doing here? Go there. You know? But the thing is, if God says he places those in the body as it pleases him.
That's right.
And sometimes you're somewhere where you're like, really, God? There's nobody to date here. Maybe that's exactly what you need. Not that there's nobody to date here, all you single people. That's not what I'm saying. But the thing is that's not what church is for. That's not what church is for. And if you really trust God and you stay where God has you, the right one to come in and not all the wrong ones. That's just free right there. That's just free preaching. All right, here we go. Let's keep going. You guys keep pulling me off. Jeez Louise. All right, let me just do this real fast because, again, I'm over. There's three levels of church, I believe. Number one, and Jesus shows us this. I'm going to give it to you real fast. If you don't get it, stay for second service. There's three levels of church. And Jesus shows us this because Jesus' ministry, how many know Jesus knows how to get it done?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. When Jesus, he had three levels in his life. He had church, which he spoke to thousands. We could say hundreds here. You know, where there's just a whole lot of people. And a lot of times people come into church and they say, oh, I'm going to come into church and I'm going to meet lots of friends and my life's going to be great. That doesn't happen in big service. You get teaching, you get to worship God together, you get that, and that's a very important part of church. But that's not all of church. What happens on Sunday is not all of church.
Right.
It's not all of church. There's more to church. And so many people turn off from Jesus because they turn off from church. And you're missing it. Because without Jesus, there's no forgiveness. Without Jesus, there's no restoring that brokenness on the inside of you. Without Jesus, there's no controlling that anger that you've got going on. There's no healing without Jesus because Jesus is the healer.
Yes, he
is. Amen? And so when you check out because you're like, church isn't for me. You check out on all the great things that God has for you in their fullness. Can you be a Christian without going to church? Of course you can. But can you get all that Jesus has for you without church? No, you cannot. But don't miss out on Jesus because you got hurt in a church. Don't miss out on what Jesus has for you because you don't understand church. Just say, I believe Jesus has the best plan for my life. And he wants to heal me. He wants to fill me up. He wants to bring me joy that is unspeakable. He wants to do in my life all the things that I want. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to straighten out your mind. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to connect you to other believers that you can do life with and have joy. The Bible says joy unspeakable. That's what Jesus wants to do. And so when Jesus spoke to the crowd, he first connected them to him. He told them, I am the way. I am the way to the Father. No one can come to the Father except by me. Isn't that what Jesus said? And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so Jesus was showing us that he's the way. He's what you're looking for. He's the door. He showed us that. He told us that. And he told it to the crowds. And so first thing, we get hooked up with Jesus. And we're in the crowd. But then Jesus goes on, just real quickly, to the second level there. And that's where Jesus, he had a group of 12. How many heard of the 12? It's the disciples. Jesus could have had 1,000 people following him around all the time. He could have picked any number of people, but he picked 12. You know what 12 people sounds like to me? A small group. Right? You want to really get something out of church? You want to build relationships? Get in a small group. Get in a small group. Get in a group where you can talk with somebody and not just, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Isn't that what everybody says here when you ask how they're doing on a Sunday morning? Isn't that what almost everybody says? And if you know somebody's going to say different, how many know you don't talk to them? Be honest. Like, oh, that one's got problems. Keep going, keep going. Go, go, go. We're almost to the door. Go. It's probably those 11 o'clock people do that, right? But, you know, and now, let's just keep going. You know, we're joking. But the thing is that, you know, we have church where we're all here, and everybody's fine. Everybody's fine. It's amazing how fine everybody is on a Sunday. Everyone, I'm fine. I'm good. But the thing is, you get into a small group, you get into a group of 12, then you've got that opportunity like we have in Mugs and Muffins. And I tell you, I love Mugs and Muffins. You know, I started Mugs and Muffins, and then I turned it over to somebody. I didn't do it for a while. Man, I missed it. I missed that small group. I miss those ladies that text me and call me. I miss B. I miss her. I miss her food, you know? I mean, I miss her. But I miss her telling testimonies. I miss hearing about how God is moving in her life. I miss that. I miss it. And, you know, and so you want to really get connected, get into a small group. And then so Jesus had the 12. And then real quick, then Jesus had the 3. He had the 3. And so, you know, the thing is that we got small groups. But then in that small group, you know what? You're probably going to find that friend that you've been looking for. You're probably going to find that John that Jesus had. You know, on Jesus, when he was on the cross, what did he say? He looked down and he said, John, here's your mom. Mom, here's your son. He was dying the most excruciating death that could be given. And yet he took the time to look at John, his good friend. I mean, you know, Jesus just clicked with him. And he said, hey, you got to take care of my mom. Mom, this is your son. I mean, you know, the thing about it is, and I thought about it this morning when I was driving here, Mary had other kids. Right? She had other sons. But Jesus trusted John to take care of his mother. And you know, some of the people that I trust to take, the people that I trusted to take care of my mother, when my mother was sick, you know where they came from? They weren't hired help. We had hired help. It was people in this church. There's people in this church. I'll never forget when my mom was dying of cancer and bedridden and had gotten to the point where she didn't even talk anymore. She had brain cancer and she didn't even talk anymore. Do you know who, you know, and my family, we had my family, but when we needed a day out once a week, once every week, Dolores Richardson would come to my mom's house, and she would take care of my mother. And let me tell you something, my mom's bedridden. You know what that means, right? She took care of my mom, and I trusted her more than I trusted anybody. I trusted her more than I trusted my family. Because I knew she knew what she was doing, first of all. And she loved my mom. She loved me. Wouldn't take a dime for it. Would come, and she would say, now go on out, take your dad to the movies, take your dad to lunch, have some fun. And she'd come every week. Mickey Whitty would come and clean my dad's house for him. Lori would come and sit with my mother. Cindy Duvall, my friend from Shekinah Glory, flew here from another state when she found out about my mom. She flew here just to pray over my mother. Let me tell you, you don't find people like that at a bar.
Come on.
You don't find people like that at a bar. You don't find people like that in a club. You find people like that in church.
Amen.
And that's the reason God said, let the church be the church. There are people in this church, and again, not just because I'm the pastor. They've been my friend when they were praying for me. That have stood by me for over 20 years. Before, you know, people say, oh, that's just because you're the pastor. No, it's when I was nobody. Not that I'm somebody now, you know what I mean. They would call me when I was backslid and say, hey, you want to come to church tomorrow or are you partying? And I'd be like, well, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. You know what they'd say? Come anyway. Come anyway. That's church people. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's why I love my church. And if you got any other idea what church is, your idea is wrong. Your idea is wrong. Somebody hurt you in church? Stuff happens. Don't throw church out just because you got hurt. Remember that hurting people hurt people, and church is made of imperfect people. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, first and foremost, let's just start right at the beginning that if there's anybody here today, anybody in this room, and maybe you've kind of turned off from Jesus because you've been turned off from church. Well, hopefully today I was able to show you that church is probably a lot more than what you think it is. It's not rules, it's not judgment, it's not regulations. Church is love. Church is people. But we're all connected by one, and that's Jesus. So maybe you've turned off from Jesus because you've turned off from church. But let's let today be the day that you step in. Let's let today be the day that you get all that God has for you. You get forgiveness from all your sin. You get a clean slate, a clear conscience. You say, how is that possible? It's not possible without God. But with God, it is possible. With God, you can have a freeing experience from your past that is beyond words. And it is only possible through Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can wash sin away. The only one. Somebody else may make you feel better, but God makes you better. Amen. He makes you better. You can receive forgiveness. You can receive power to live life on this earth. The power to stand strong. The power to pray. The power to be the church. And lastly, you can receive a place in heaven. You can say, I know that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when my life comes to an end, I will spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. You can know that. You can have a no-so experience, we call it. Say, how do I do that? Do I got to clean up? Do I got to do this? No, none of that. You don't have to quit anything. You don't even have to change anything right now. All you got to do is say yes to the greatest invitation ever given when Jesus said, come. Will you take his invitation today? Will you come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to give you all of me for all of you. If that's you, I'm going to count to three and I want you to just raise your hand big and tall. Nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. You say, that's me. I want to come to Jesus. One, two, three. three. Raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. I see your hand. I see your hand, man. Anybody else? Say, I want to come to Jesus. Oh, there's nothing like the freeing power that Jesus gives. There is nothing like the forgiveness that only He can give. Anybody else? Say, I want to come to Jesus. Oh, for the sake of those two, raise their hand. Let's just all pray this prayer together. And if you're here and you say, man, I should have raised my hand, that's all right. God sees your heart. So if you want to come to Jesus for the first time, or maybe you're here today and you've kind of wandered away, and today you're saying, man, I need to get back with God. I need to get back where I need to be. Then you say this prayer with us today. Say, Father God, today I come to you to give you all of me for all of you. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am forgiven. I am restored. I am saved right now because of Jesus and all He did for me. Amen. Oh, and God good. He's so good. He's so good. God is so good. Well, here we go. We're going to take up our offering, and I'm going to go apologize to all the children's ministry people. So let's take up our offering real quick. We stay here all the time at BBC. We give because we want to, not because we have to.